40. 40 is the recommended speed. It should say 40, recommended. Adjust according to conditions. Something like that, you know. It's almost impossible to drive a car at 40 if you're in, like, fourth gear. You know? It'll stall. Well, okay, so we're on. It's a pet peeve. We all got them. All right, so this salt thing now. Don't eat salt. Eat salt. Yeah. It's enough to make you cry, and that's just more salt. Well, what do you know?
Live from Jacksonville, Florida to Charleston, South Carolina, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Strong voice.
That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. Boy. I'm Sarah Nix. In this era of What Do You Know, we lobby with New Yorker columnist Paul Rudnick, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose check to ALS was completely ruined by the ice water. It's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. I was just writing the check out. It's somebody dumped ice water on me. What the heck? Oh, thank you very much. Nice to see you all here. Thank you for coming. In South Korea, Pope Francis saves his first Kia Soul. So Apple is storing its data in China in the I Kung Pao cloud. There's a new IBM chip. I read about it. It is so like the human brain, it forgets where it puts things. It leaves its keys in the door. In the taxi app wars, Berlin bans Uber und alles. Uber und alles. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Must have gone out for a second there. After 10 years and 4 billion miles of journey, it turns out comets look a heck of a lot better from a distance. It's like a big misshapen potato, you know, for that 10 years and 4 billion miles. Like a rejected potato. Those are the ones they throw off because they're too, no one's going to want that. It's too weird looking. Okay, anyhow. A giant fossil has been found in Antarctica, the Penguinus libranus. Giant penguins apparently were actually 7 feet tall at one point. The difference is, of course, penguins cannot jump. So, Russian hackers may have gotten my password, I think, because I'm being followed by a Leo Tolstoy on Twitter. He's at Count Leo. I assume that's Tolstoy. Anyhow, page two. Johnny Manziel and Justin Bieber are neck and neck for the Browns quarterback job. Johnny Football and Justin, what do they call him? Justin Time. VW recalls 150,000 cars. I'm making an Achtung noise. What is that noise? It goes Achtung, Achtung. Just when you shift, though. Mummies and Joan Rivers are much older than they look due to being very well preserved. Ice water now thought to cause ALS. See, when there's not much good news, you really got to stretch to get something going. That's all I'm saying, you know. Geneticists. And do we have any here, geneticists? Okay, this doesn't matter. I'll just cross this out then. But anyhow, I'll tell you anyhow. Geneticists have been able to edit the banana genome to have as many as 12 A's and 8 N's. Making it banana na 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 na. I kept working this out all night. I could not get it to work out. But I'm not a geneticist, am I? Okay. The aid convoy arrives at the Ukraine border with a load of used Russians. All right, but why? It's not worth a groan. I mean, are you Russian? I'm sorry if you're Russian and that was offensive. I don't think so. In Ferguson, Missouri, first time ever anyone's been happy to see the highway patrol. That's a first. Here in Wisconsin, the city of Neenah reassures that their armored military vehicles will only be used against Menasha. Okay, there. Got to be from around here, there, hey? SeaWorld will upgrade killer whale habitats, or else. 1,000 mini robots who can swarm together begin filling state jobs. They're also good in marching bands, swarming mini robots. I'm going to get me one. But then you need to get 1,000 of them, because you can't swarm all alone, can you? No. You can actually talk, you know, around radio. Didn't we tell you that when we gave you the job? Oh. We'll be on radio. P.S. We'll be on radio. Talk. Okay. Texas Governor Rick Perry indicted for wearing lensless glasses. Hey, it's never a good idea to flag down Tony Stewart. Let's put it that way. It's really too bad Robin Williams isn't around to riff on being immortalized in World of Warcraft. Yeah. So they said they're going to immortalize him in World of Warcraft. You would have a lot to say about that. Governor-President Scott Walker promises 250,000 new jobs in Benghazi. We have to call him Governor-President now. There's an edict, and that's okay. I don't care. A little longer. And finally, and I mean that, Savannah Guthrie and I are happy to announce the arrival of 8.5-pound Vail Guthrie Feldman. I've already started the college fund. That's all the news. That is, and thank you so much. And good night. Or good day. Or good luck. That's the way it is. Remember, that's the way it is. It's never the way it is anymore after Walter Cronkite went away. It's no longer the way it is. That's the way it is. And then we felt like that's the way it is. You know, that's cool. No, it isn't. Oh, I'm so happy to have Paul Rudnick on. I love Paul Rudnick. He's, I think, the funniest guy per pound. Pound for pound. Yeah. He's a light middleweight. He's a great, funny guy. He writes for The New Yorker a lot and does many other things. He's written plays and movies. And you know it. You name it, he's done it. And we have one this once again from his lair in Manhattan. Are you in your lair right now, Paul Rudnick?
I am indeed. Yeah. It's so good to be back.
How are you?
I'm well.
I've missed you. What have you been up to now? What's the latest project? Or can we speak of it?
Let me see. Well, I'm working on a couple of books and a pilot for HBO and that kind of thing. But
wow. Oh, good.
And I've got a new piece in The New Yorker next week as well on trigger warnings.
Trigger warnings. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so there are some deeply sensitive people who do feel that any book or movie or anything that contains material that might upset anyone should come with some form of labeling that alerts us that there may be scenes of bullying or prejudice.
Right. So it's a little asterisk saying could contain Paul Rudnick material.
Exactly. Go read no further.
Speaking of which, now this whole Hobby Lobby thing, you know, it was hard to find anyone who was speaking straight from the wherever people speak straight from these days. On this whole Hobby Lobby thing, and it was very controversial, but you seem to have found a way of getting at it.
Well, see, I think the first and probably the most prominent thing about the whole Hobby Lobby controversy is that it's so much fun to say Hobby Lobby.
It is.
Every so often there's a news event that forces the deeply serious newscasters on CNN or Fox or the networks to say something that sounds really silly.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of years ago during the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court when there was all the debate about the Coke can with the pubic hair on it. So, you know, Brian Williams had to keep repeating that.
Yeah.
So Hobby Lobby... Hobby Lobby is kind of right up there.
Yeah.
And once I started researching the store, because I think, I'm sure the minute they thought of that title, they thought, well, that's so catchy, and they're right.
Yeah.
But I thought, is the store only a lobby? You know, I thought, does it have any sort of specifics to it? But it doesn't seem to.
No, maybe it started in a lobby or something, and it just grew really huge.
That could be, or unless they are... As I kind of suggested, lobbyists on behalf of the crafting world.
Yeah.
You know, that someone has to speak up for sequins and styrofoam.
Yeah, okay. The only disturbing thing I found about, and we're going to hear his, you'll be speaking for Eleanor, I guess, in this.
Yeah, right? Indeed.
Yes, she is. She's very good. But the only thing disturbing is that you must have a tremendous knowledge of crafting to be able to write this.
I do, and actually the people at The New Yorker found that very disturbing.
You see, they would.
But I knew that, and they weren't wrong. And they said, Paul, you must have had to do so much research, and the sad fact was I didn't have to do any. It's all in there. Because I think when I was growing up in New Jersey, I could not have been more fascinated with crafting, which continues. Huh. Because, and the two main crafting moments that I remember were first because I was a Cub Scout, which is kind of crafting mecca in New Jersey where you're not about to, you know, go outdoors and do anything rigorous. But we would take Clorox bottles and turn them into piggy banks.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, if you put a Clorox bottle on its side and put corks for little feet and a pipe cleaner for the squiggly tail, you can pretend it's a piggy bank. Yeah. But even as a child, I knew, no, that's a Clorox bottle. You know, and you probably shouldn't touch it and then lick your fingers.
But, lost a lot of Cub Scouts.
The other crafting peak then was, and this was again as a Cub Scout, we were given a lot of used bowling pins, which we painted to look like Cub Scouts.
Yeah.
With little crepe paper neckerchiefs and a little hat. And it was a little odd because I thought, bowling pins are designed to be knocked down.
Yeah.
So they were, you're kind of creating Cub Scout victims.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of crafts I love, the ones that don't make a whole lot of sense, but they're still really fun.
But, you know, this suggests to me that you crafted beyond the Cub Scout years, though, because there's a tremendous knowledge here.
I have. I have a kind of comprehensive appreciation for the crafting world because also I like anything that you can do really fast and appreciate it and then throw it out. Because that's what crafting is. I mean, crafting is also designed as a form of revenge. It's a gift that that people have to display at least once. You know, before torching. But there is something deeply satisfying, especially if you watch any of the crafting shows or any of the crafting items sold on Home Shopping. The amount of hole punches, it's a billion-dollar industry, you know, in hole punches alone.
Yeah, but don't you agree that the hot glue gun was a turning point in crafting?
Oh, my! The hot glue gun and the staple gun are probably my favorite weapons. I wish there was a form of, I'm sure there is such a thing as extreme crafting, but you'd really like to see crafters, you know, face off in a cage match. Because you could do damage with a staple gun. Yeah. Well, hot glue guns are, I just saw something that someone who still had a childhood scar from dripping hot glue onto their thigh. So those things really.
You saw something, or you mean you met someone with that condition, or you?
Well, that's just a crazy dream.
What is that there? Is that a hot glue gun? Exactly.
That's a sort of real Sons of Anarchy type injury. You know, I was creating Christmas tree ornaments, and suddenly everything went horribly wrong.
Without further ado, can you introduce us to the hobby lobbyist?
All right. This was, let me see. I'll just give you a taste of it, but it begins by saying many people have been wondering exactly what edged the Supreme Court towards its recent decision involving Hobby Lobby, the chain of craft stores that has been allowed a religious exemption from funding birth control for its employees. An urgent letter has come to light, which may clarify the matter. Then, to the Supreme Court, especially Justice Scalia, who is a prime candidate for the benefits of therapeutic elder crafting in a calming environment. My name is Eleanor Crimley Dubbins, and as one of this country's most dedicated crafters and a three-time second runner-up in our local Let's Get Craft and Craft Brie here in San Diego, I would like to express how thoroughly crafting is intertwined with my deepest religious convictions. A careful reading of Genesis reveals that when the serpent first offered Eve the apple, she replied, quote, I bet if I shellacked that apple and studded it with fragrant cloves and then hot glued the whole thing with an overlay of jumbo red sequins, it would make a darling year-round ornament for our tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To which Adam, Eve's husband, responded, "That sounds great, sweetheart. Why don't you get cracking while I finish creating a rustic gun rack from all of these hooves and antlers? Because animal parts ain't just for eating, they're for crafting." So as you could see, crafting started on practically day one of the Judeo-Christian world. Why, some folks claim that our planet itself is just a doodad that the Almighty came up with after spinning his rainy day fun pick a project activities wheel. Now, should I go on, or is that
please,
enough?
Please, please do.
You want a little more?
More.
All right. Let me see. Well, as civilization progressed, so did crafting. Moses originally intended to use his home wood-burning kit to char the Ten Commandments onto a knotty pine plaque, which could also be used, with the addition of screw-in brass-plated hooks, as a hold-all for house keys. But he ultimately settled on a poured resin look of granite option. I like to think that Moses wanted to include an 11th commandment: thou shalt not use condoms or real stained glass, not when the acrylic colors are even more vibrant and easier to keep clean. I'll admit that I wasn't always such a fervent believer, either in God or in the sort of homemade Mother's Day cards that can land a person in the emergency room with a hole punch wound. My commitment to the twin glories of Jesus and yard sale-ready collectibles began when I was 14 years old, and my parents dragged me to a Christmas midnight mass. As I was yawning and wishing that I was off with my friends in someone's unchaperoned Finnish basement, guzzling eggnog laced with cranberry juice, I happened to glance at the nativity scene on the high altar. I happened to glance at the nativity scene on the high altar, where the miracle of Jesus' birth had been imaginatively interpreted with sock monkeys. At that very moment, I heard a voice telling me, "Eleanor, go ye forth and tell of the Lord's wonders," using pipe cleaners, popsicle sticks, and enormous day-glow crepe paper sunflowers with plastic googly eyes and refrigerator magnet grins. By the very next day, I had crafted a miniature replica of the Last Supper, entirely out of those tiny jet-puffed marshmallows, empty bottles of mini-bar vodka, and human hair. I soon joined a fast-growing church called Our Lady of the Decoupage Trinket Box. Our beloved pastor, the Reverend Lionel Harmwater, has led his flock in scrapbooking the entire Bible by adding doily borders to every page, along with oak tag framed photos of bowling pins on which parishioners have enameled the faces of their patron saints. This Bible now weighs more than 58 pounds and rests on a reinforced redwood picnic table in the sacristy, surrounded by beeswax candles set inside coffee cans that have been spray painted to look like spray painted coffee cans. I love to page through this Bible to discover pop-up tinfoil angels holding antiqued parchment banners reading, "Pray and crochet," or "You can't commit adultery with a staple gun." Of course, there are plenty of folks who just don't believe, either in God or in using frayed extension cords to wire together old frisbees and oven mitts to create a one-of-a-kind holiday wreath for a nursing home front door. These non-believers, or as I like to call them, people without hand-tooled, Navajo-inspired Naugahyde change purses, live mostly in the northeastern portion of America, which, frankly, is a crafting sinkhole. There is hope, however. A crafter's gospel has just been discovered, rolled up inside a Clorox bottle that had been repurposed as a piggy bank and hidden in a cavern outside Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This gospel includes a revelatory sermon in which Jesus, in no uncertain terms, condemns any undecorated surface, including simple pine coffins, which can be made so much more appealing and therefore more righteous by adding bottle caps dusted with clear glitter and arranged in snowflake patterns. When it comes to the court's decision on contraception, I think I can be of service. For my five beautiful daughters, and the other one, I have used a cheerful, heavy-gauge yarn, mixing strands of cashmere, alpaca, and barbed wire to knit what I call a crotch cozy. When my girls wear their crotch cozies, they not only receive endless compliments in the locker room, but sexual intercourse becomes impossible. Any additional form of birth control is unnecessary. Case closed. That's what Eleanor was saying.
Paul Rudnick, hobby lobbyist, puts it all together.
I do what I can. Thank you.
And it makes a strange kind of sense. Actually, that's fun. See, that's a pretty extensive knowledge of crafting, which you're not totally owning up to, Paul.
I know. No, I'm not going to be ashamed. I enjoy. My name is Paul, and I'm a crafter. Although I will also admit, though, that this piece was mentioned on a very right-wing evangelical site.
Yes.
Which is called Newsbusters, and it says. Newsbusters says exposing and combating liberal media bias. And the comments were kind of wonderful because they said things like, there is a special place in hell for this offensive mockery.
And imagine how it will be decorated.
That's right. Although then one very nice gentleman said, my wife went to the Hobby Lobby in Moorhead City on Friday. She said the people there were so nice and helpful, and now they have to put up with crap like this.
That was the nice one? That was the one.
That was one of the kinder ones.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. Paul, it's a pleasure, as always. Thank you so much for taking time from your busy day. If it is busy day, I don't know. Is today a busy day for you?
It can be. Yeah, now I'm going to go back to work.
Get back to work.
With more offensive mockery.
Offensive mockery. Keep it up, please. We need that. Paul Rudnick. Thanks very much, Paul.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Paul Rudnick. Read him in the Arthur often. Oh, boy. All right. Hobby lobbyist. Yeah, you got to break eggs, though. You want to make an omelet? Yes.
Crotch cozy.
Yeah. Cozy, I think.
Cozy.
Yeah. Although you make a good point. All right, then. So did you have the crafting? You must do some of that crafting stuff now. And you got like Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and all that stuff. And Girl Scouts.
Yes. I think popsicle sticks are kind of Jeff's area of expertise.
Yeah, that's what we had. You know, I was a not even a Cub Scout. I was a Weeblow.
Weeblow.
For one meeting, because we went to Sheldon Wiviat's mother's house. She was there, whatever. And she made us glue things together out of popsicle sticks, and I quit. One meeting as a Weeblow, and they're winning the scouting as a result of an early bad crafting experience. So there you go. It can happen. Okay there. So how are you? Pretty good there?
Good. Very
good.
Yeah, good?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have a nice week off and everything? Mm-hmm. Anything fun?
2 weeks off coming back from Columbus. You guys got home a little bit later than me, but...
Yes, because as we arrived, we took a bus, by the way. Don't ever do this. Anyone says, why don't you take a bus to Columbus, Ohio from here?
Oh, yeah, let's take a bus.
It's a few hours. Turned out to be 12 hours each way. And it was just a school bus with a John on it. Anyway.
It's a little bit better than that.
Yeah, slightly. But, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then as we get to, after like an hour, 10 and a half, we're dropping John off in Chicago. And Lollapalooza is exiting.
Lollapalooza.
And the White Sox game on this side. And Lollapalooza on that side. As we're entering, where it all goes down to one lane anyhow.
Yeah. You
know, so that was special.
That was real special.
Good to be home, though, huh?
Yeah.
Did you do any vacationing this summer at all? Did you get anywhere?
No vacationing.
Not this year?
No.
You used to be a big vacationer, didn't you?
I did.
Didn't you? I mean, you went to exotic places, islands and things. I thought.
Oh, one time I went to an island.
You went to an island one time.
I still remember it.
Yeah, it was a nice island. Okay, all right. And then Jeff?
Yes?
Having any vacation fun? Any family vacations? Summers?
Jeff was at scout camp last week.
Scout camp.
That sounds pretty special.
Yeah. That was good, huh?
Probably go for the cabin in a few weeks.
You have a cabin?
Graham and Grandpa do.
Graham and Grandpa
do. Oh, they have a cabin. Yeah. Where is their cabin?
Way up north.
Way up north.
It's not. It's called something, isn't it? It's just called Way Up North Cabin. It's not. Wautoma, maybe.
No.
It's up by Eau Claire, isn't it, Jeff?
It's an hour away from Eau Claire. I can't remember the name. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember which direction from Eau Claire it is? Yeah. Because you're going to have trouble finding it, I think, and you got the kids screaming in the car and stuff. And
yes.
Don't make me pull this car over.
Right.
Yeah, just, you have to use that one several times. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. And this song here, John, is a song of...
This is using the word of the day,
yeah,
which is jink. Do you know what jink means?
No.
It means like to move fast sideways or
something. Oh, I didn't know that. crab-like?
This is crab-like, yeah. This is called Jinkin' with Jimmy.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
That was fast.
That was really good.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay, we'll try again. Thank you very much.
And I know it's not just because of the sign, right? Is it? That sign that says applause. Thank you. The clumps are here. Clumps? Oh, the clumps. I don't know why I thought you were the clumps. They're the clumps because you're in the UP, right?
No.
Oh, okay. You were in the UP, but you're not the clumps. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, let's go over here and see what the clumps, what's new with the clumps. I got the clumps to stand up here, please. They're in a clump. Yes, they're together.
Yes.
And we've got Mr. Clump is...
Jerry.
Jerry Clump and...
Melanie.
Clump?
Yes.
And from Middleton, Wisconsin, and it says you're a semi-retired accountant and pontoon boat captain. Is that true? What part of that is true?
That's both true. Yeah, I retired last year and only work now from February to April 15th. But during the summer, I drive pontoon boats for the Madison
April 15th,
School.
You're done, right?
That's done.
You sign off.
That's it.
What if there is a little problem with the returns you filed? You're out on the pontoon boat. You're not even going to deal with it.
That's exactly right. That's up to the other partner.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
Can you actually make a living as a pontoon boat captain? Is there a call for that?
Not when I'm a volunteer.
Oh, you're a volunteer?
Yes.
So it doesn't pay?
No, it doesn't. Except for being out in the water.
Do you get to claim anything, like your uniform?
No.
On your taxes?
No, they provide us with a shirt and a hat, so.
Okay. Okay.
Pants are on.
Is this all true, or is he lying?
No, it's actually true, believe it or not. Yeah. We made him, my sister and I, we made him a hat for his birthday, like an official captain's hat with his name on it.
Yeah. So. Is this a midlife crisis, or?
Maybe an older midlife crisis,
yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever comes after midlife.
Right.
I was wondering about that,
too. Okay, I think I went through midlife. Now, what is this? This is really scary. That's why they don't bother to name it. It'd be a scary name. You're like, you know.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, okay. And so, where does this pontoon boat actually pontoon on?
Monona, Mendota, Wabisa.
So you do them all?
Yeah.
All the lakes are on.
Right.
Are they even connected? I didn't know. You have to portage or the pontoon would be hard.
No, they're all connected. The only thing you have to get through is the locks. Between Monona and Mendota.
Yeah. Is it salty locks or is it regular?
It's pretty regular, yes.
Well, that's very good then. Were you trained? Do you have to go? Is there a license for a pontoon captain?
You have to go through a 21-hour course to get certification, and then there is a hands-on training, yes.
Hands-on training with a pontoon.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Someday you hope to own your own pontoon, maybe get a little business going there. And
well, we'd only do it for fun. I wouldn't do it for money.
The clumps, ladies and gentlemen. It's all true. It's true what they say about, thank you very much, clumps. You're done with the interrogation. We had to do that for tax purposes to see if there's anything that was being claimed here that shouldn't have been, and so forth. Melanie, nice to have you here as well. You're in vet school. Oh, cool.
I'm going to be starting, yeah, this fall.
Large animals or small?
I'm not sure yet. I'll have to wait and see.
Small ones are cute, but the big ones probably pay better.
Probably. There's more call for that, yeah.
Okay, very good. Why do you look different than how you sound on the radio? Or is it the other way around? Do I sound different than I look on the radio? I've heard this once or twice. Sharon Burr from Gray's Lake. There she is. Okay, she's with her mom, who she left in Milwaukee to fend for herself, start a new life in Gray's Lake. Can I get you to stand up? Would you mind? How are you?
I am fine. It's so nice to see you in person.
Oh, thank you. Nice to see you. Hello, Mom. I don't mean to ignore you.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. She told me you were very handsome, so I had to...
So I'm sorry that it turned out this way.
So I had to find out for myself.
Yeah.
So, and I think she's right.
Oh, you do? Yeah. What kind of correction you got on those glasses?
She told me you were very funny, and she wanted me to see the show, and I'm very glad to be here.
Well, it's very nice to...
Thank you.
And your name is?
Mary.
Mary.
Yes.
Okay. Just use the one name?
Yeah.
Were you a dancer or something? And it just goes,
fabulous
Mary.
I used to love to sing and dance, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things did you sing and dance?
Italian songs.
Italian songs?
Yes.
But Did you say you're Polish, though, didn't you?
No, no. I said a lot of Polish people live on the south side.
And one Italian, and it's you.
Yes, that's...
Well, wonderful. Your mom is very sweet.
She is very sweet. And she's 89 years old.
89 years old? You're not supposed to say that.
Why does she always have to tell my age?
Yeah.
No matter if I meet a person the first time, she'll say, oh, this is my mother, and you know what? She's 89 years old.
How is that, number one, any of their business?
That's right.
And number two, you've told her probably 1,000 times.
Well, she knows that. She's my guide now. Yeah. I do everything she tells me to. That's what she thinks.
She's all right. Mary, you're okay. We'll get you a little wine here, so we got wine.
Oh, that would be great.
You can't drink it here, but you get...
No, well, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get you some. Don't worry. So how should I look or sound, I guess?
Well, when I was purchasing the tickets, I was trying to find a picture of you, and the picture that I found didn't seem to match the voice. Uh-huh. And now that I see you, it matches perfectly.
Oh, okay. So it's all right.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Okay. You're much more handsome than the picture that I saw.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I love this family. Aren't they sweet? Mom, you too, Bob. Thank you, dear. I don't want to mess your hair. It looks beautiful, by the way.
That's fine.
Very nice. Very nice. What do we have now? Now, we got the Burrs. Is that both Burrs?
Alberti. Yes, and I'm a Burr. I'm a Sharon Burr.
You're on Alberti all these years, I'll tell you that, if you don't stop telling, all right?
Well, the thing.
So, did you just take Burr from Alberti?
No, I was married.
You married a Burr.
Married to a Burr, from Canada.
Did you finally get it off?
Well, he's gone, so yeah, I guess I did.
Alberti, okay. And what do we have for Mary Alberti?
We could send them home with some fine Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That'll get her singing again.
Do they have any fine Italian wines there?
No, they're Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Well,
Thank you very much. Very nice to meet you. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what you probably came here for, or maybe not. And I had a test sheet on the back of that there. Yeah, they ran out of paper. Would you come up here if you wouldn't mind? And you are?
I am Sherry Beaver.
Okay. Your line here. Okay, and then I'll give that to you, Sherry, and if you want to take over and.
Here are the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, Superman, I've seen better. Super Moon?
Yeah.
The handwriting's a little ambiguous. Super Moon? Yeah, well, I've seen better there, too. Persons employed, number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
That was very well, unusually well done.
Thank you.
It was a watershed of the four disclaimers. Very well done. Are you in acting or?
No.
You are?
I am, as a matter of fact.
You're an actor. You are an actor.
Yes, sir.
Actor. Would they say actor now?
Yes, it's a sexless term now.
it's a thankless occupation. What?
Might be, as many things might be.
Where might we see you?
Cornstalk Theater in Peoria, Illinois.
All right. Let's see the hands of those of you who now, having heard that, want to try the What Do You Know quiz. If you want to play the quiz, then you need to. You were up first, dear. And that wins. Yes, you. Yes, of course you. You were right with that. So maybe it's too important to you.
The quiz? I'm not sure.
Not sure yet.
I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it.
Well, your hand shot up.
Oh, why I want to play the quiz?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We kind of rushed into it. I wasn't prepared. I want to play the quiz because I look younger than I am. I have a daughter who turned 21 today.
Oh, yes, your daughter.
Yes.
My one is turning 21.
Oh, really?
Ever, so I know you. Okay.
And I have one who just graduated from Maddie from UW.
All right, so that can be your reason.
Yeah.
Okay, because she looks younger than she is. Come on right up here. Oh, I didn't get your name. Oh, we'll find out all the details. Don't worry about it. For tax purposes, we got a CPA is still working here, I think. Oh, tune time now. I can't get you a CPA to figure this out. I didn't ask your name even, did I?
Claudia.
Claudia.
Yes.
Claudia, how are you?
I'm good.
Where are you from, Claudia?
I'm from New York.
You're from New York?
Yeah.
New
I like
York?
To say, well, from Long Island. But
New York,
I,
New York?
Well, Long Island, New York.
Long Island, New York.
So I prefer to say I'm second generation Brooklyn.
Oh, you are.
It's cooler.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Yeah. Well, that's very. So, are you a hipster then? Now you're in Brooklyn.
Well, not according to my kids, but I think I'm pretty hip.
But you got to dress the dress and walk the walk.
I did back in the '80s.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I lived in Brooklyn, and
what do you wear? I probably would want to be a hipster today. I guess if I were coming up, but I don't have the wardrobe. I don't think. Maybe I did.
All you need is a lot of black.
Just black?
Yeah. In fact, I usually am all in black. Today is an exception, but
yeah.
I still wear black. So maybe I'm a hipster still.
Okay.
Yeah.
They wear straw hats or something?
No, and they don't wear berets either.
No berets?
No.
Or...
But I think they wear the big black-rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
That's their uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are you doing these days?
I do a lot of different things,
yeah.
But probably the most interesting thing is, besides being a musician, is I'm a standardized patient.
I thought you were kidding. I saw that card. Is that for real?
It's for real.
A standardized patient?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I pretend to have different maladies.
You're a typical patient. You know, standardized. That's everybody. Okay, so you got things that aren't wrong with you, and you go around to doctors, and then... Why do you do that? Just for your own amusement?
No, I get good. I get paid well.
So someone pays you to lie to doctors?
Well, I'm not really. I'm pretending, Michael. I'm not lying.
Okay, but you have to say things and those will not be true.
I learn a script roughly.
Really?
And then I have certain, like I said, maladies. Like, oh, it hurts on my left. It hurts on my right. They actually. What's so funny?
No, I don't know.
Actually, a lot of people, I didn't realize that I was doing the same thing that Kramer did on a Seinfeld episode.
He did? Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
He was. Yeah, exactly. But I work in a hospital, so yeah. I prefer, rather than saying I'm a standardized patient, I like to say I help train medical students. That
right.
also sounds a little better.
So now, and then, but who pays you to pretend you have various conditions?
The department. It's called clinical skills.
Okay.
And they have students who come through in varying places in their career, like first year medical students, second
yeah.
year, third, fourth year.
And yeah, I mean, do you have to fake rashes and things like that? Or yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
But, and in fact, I have to...
Steal wool or something. Look at this. It's overnight I got this.
They do put
and it was over here last night.
There has been times because sometimes you could be working an 8-hour day and you're being manhandled by like 10, 15 students and you start to forget what case you're doing.
Yeah.
So
and some of them probably aren't even pre-med or anything but at that point.
They're supposed to be.
I just heard about Claudia. Claudia, the
she's easy.
Claudia, she's not a real patient, so you can pretty much examine whatever you want. Well, that's very unusual, I must say. And that pays good, and you actually... Are you trained medically yourself, so you know what you're supposed to have? You know, good
no,
range
I mean,
of diseases?
No, I have a medical background somewhat, yeah. but no, you don't. You can be anyone
yeah.
get what, this job.
Most recently, what did you have wrong with you?
Actually, on the way out from New York, I had to stop at urgent care. In Ohio,
and they didn't believe you. They didn't believe you, right? Oh, it's Claudia.
Well, it was funny because I went in diagnosing one thing. I think I have this. And she goes, no, I don't. And she kept on pressing where it hurt.
Yeah.
And finally, like after the fourth time, I said, could you stop pressing there?
Yeah.
It obviously hurts.
Yeah. It hurts when I do this. You know, anything. Well, that's very interesting. Okay. And are you on vacation now?
Yes.
And how'd you end up here?
Because my daughter is still out here. She just graduated UW-Madison,
yeah.
And she did the big move. This is the weekend of the big move.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
and my daughter is turning 20. Her sister is turning 21, and we decided what better town to turn 21 in than State Street, Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, you're not going to celebrate it, are you?
Oh, no.
With your mother? Come on. Because you're talking... Yeah.
Not true.
Well, it depends what condition she has at the time. Because Nora is turning 21 in November, my daughter, my youngest daughter. And I said, well, so we'll be seeing a lot of you. We're going to stay home and have a nice little party for you and get party favors. And that's not going to happen. Okay, Claudia, someone out there plays along with you. And congratulations on your birthday and on your daughter's graduation and all those good things.
Thank you.
That are happening. What is she going to do now, the older one?
Hmm.
Not to press a point, because ours moved back in. That was good.
We're hoping that doesn't happen, but they're welcome to.
No, I love it.
And she's a hard worker.
I love the fact you moved back in. All right. The Green Bay Packers are ranked number one in NFL on all-time greatness. You may have read that. They are the number one all-time great team in the NFL. What I want to know is who is number 32? That's our question today to qualify. 32 in all-time greatness out of 32. If you know, give us a call here. What's our number again?
The number's 1-800-942-5669.
I can't remember a bunch of numbers, though. Is there...
That translates into 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-QUACK-NOW.
Quack.
Yes.
Quack or HWA. Okay. I heard myself saying. Okay. JK is in Worthington, Ohio. Hey, JK. Hey, JK. This is not working here. I'm pressing his button here, and I don't see the light going on.
Hi, so, Michael.
JK?
Hi.
Are you there?
Hi.
Yeah, you got it?
There's a voice in my head. Oh, that was you, John.
Yeah, how you doing?
That was JT standing in for JK. Hey, JK.
Hey, I'm the gentleman that met you at Columbus, Ohio. It's actually Westerville.
You're in Westerville?
I gave the horn.
Oh, well, how are you?
About that job.
Yeah, Westerville. We had a great time there, by the way. I loved it.
Yeah. And I think I got the answer.
You got the answer?
It's the only city in Ohio that there was a storm. The people were coming to the Cleveland Browns Stadium because there's never a touchdown there. I'm going to say Cleveland Browns.
Oh, no, they're not even close to the bottom, JK. I'm sorry.
They don't have their touchdown there or anything. I'm a good one.
Yeah, they're sort of mid level. Oh, okay. Sorry, JK. I hope that was us and not you. Let's try Stacy now on this number two line here, who's on the road from South Carolina to North Carolina.
Let's try Stacy now.
Oh, now I hear me being squeezed through the lines. Engineering.
Yeah, this is it.
Could you be a standardized engineer and fix this for me?
No.
Stacy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Stacy. You're on the road from South Carolina to North Carolina?
Yes.
And then are you back again to from North Carolina to South Carolina afterwards?
Yeah, we're taking our daughter back to NC State.
Oh, yeah, going back to school, huh? Have you got a trailer behind you or what?
No, just our vehicle is packed with all of her stuff.
Oh, Cool. And you got to do the move. I didn't do any moving this year. It's the first time. It's so great. We got movers.
We normally do have movers, but not this year.
Yeah, not this year. Stacy, number 32 all-time great football teams in the NFL. At the very bottom, who is it?
The very bottom, I got to say Miami?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, not Miami.
Can I get one more guess?
No. Sorry, Stacy. Save your strength. You're going to need it. Got to unload all that stuff. Nice talking to you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye. Then there's Paul here, line three. In Woodstock, Illinois. Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I am good.
Are you relaxing today, having a nice day, just... on the deck,
yeah,
maybe?
I actually went to a Toastmasters meeting this morning.
Oh. How many toasts did you have?
It's not that kind of toast.
Oh, okay. My dad was a toastmaster.
Not even French toast.
Yeah. Number 32 in the NFL, all-time greatness list.
Well, when the guy was talking about being in the Carolinas, I was thinking possibly Carolina Panthers.
They're pretty close. But they're not the bottom of the barrel. So you'll always have that. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Okay, bye. Now I'm thinking 1, 2, 3, 4 here is Ed, who's in Overland Park, Kansas.
Hello.
Hey, Ed, what you up to?
Hey, I'm driving. I'm actually closer to, I don't know, what's up north of Kansas City.
I don't know. I've never been there, and apparently you haven't either. What?
You should come.
Oh, I don't think on this trip, Ed. It sounds like you don't know where you're going or anything.
Oh yeah, headed north. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you escaping something or what's the deal?
Not at all. Just driving around. Had a little audition this morning, and failed miserably.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
All right, so, Ed, the worst team in the NFL in terms of all-time greatness, would it be the Houston Texans?
It would probably be Houston,
yes. Yes, the Houston Texans. Okay, that's what I thought, too. I thought that you had a bad, audition. Okay, yeah, number 30. Oh, by the way, in case you're wondering, Jacksonville is right before them. Or Carolina is. It doesn't really matter at that point. Carolina, Jacksonville.
Well, where are the Raiders?
Houston. The Raiders aren't. I don't have them here.
Oh, okay.
I just have the Packers. Packers are the best. Giants are number 2. Steelers number 3. Da Bears number 4. And Cowboys number 5. And at the bottom, I just had the bottom 3 there. Those guys. So,
Ed, the Giants did better than the Cowboys, so that's fine. Cause I'm from the Bronx.
Okay. Ed, this is Claudia. She's your partner now. Do you want to pull over or something, Ed? Can you do that?
Yeah, it probably be best. There we go. I did.
Okay, that was rather abrupt, Ed. I don't want to be behind you. You're already distraught over this audition failure.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Okay. What were you auditioning for, Ed?
A community theater show, Fiddle on the Roof.
Did you try to do a Tevye? I can help you with the Tevye thing. If I was a rich man, after me,
That's close. That's
all day long, I biddy biddy boom. If I was a wealthy man,
hey,
I wouldn't have to boycott. All right, Ed. Ed and Claudia, you are a team. Did you meet Ed?
Hi, Ed. Nice
Claudia.
To meet you. I played Yenta once.
Hiya, Claudia. I've been to your area, Brooklyn, there. I took my passport and I got there.
Okay. The two of you are a team and we have various categories, don't we? Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Ed, what would you like?
People.
People. Connect this the stalling for time word with the gender. We have and People say and You want to know the gender, male or female? Who says who says I'm stalling for time. He said and you said
Guys say and the girls say
You guys just
I'll agree with that.
Yes, that's right. And you actually did it. Oh, that was scientific.
That's one right and zero wrong, and the categories remaining are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Claudia?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Here it is.
There we go.
Among the people who are wealthy, how many out of 10 don't particularly like it? Or find it to be a lot of trouble? Is it 1, 2, or 3 out of 10 find being wealthy too much trouble?
What do you think, Claudia? Go for the middle ground?
We could take the easy way, yeah. Yeah, 2 or 3, I was going to say.
2 or 3?
Yeah, well, we probably got to say one or the other. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with 2.
2 is right. Okay, 2 out of 10. Don't really care for it, but they're not going to give it up anytime soon. Okay.
That's 2 right and 0 wrong, and the categories left are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Ed?
Probably things we should have learned in school.
Okay.
Except how are we supposed to know that if we didn't learn them?
Schmutz is now a legitimate Scrabble word. Schmutz meaning something that's grimy or grime or dirt from the Yiddish. Schmutz, I'd like you to spell it, please. It is now an official.
Oh.
Schmutz.
Claudia?
Of course.
You got this one, I'll do it.
You can do it, Ed.
Oh, we only get to try it once. I can't, like.
No, no, go ahead. Ed seems to know it. Or you can do it.
Oh. I was thinking S-C-H-M-U-T-Z.
Okay, I was thinking that you're right.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Unless you disagree.
That too.
Yeah. Yes, Schmutz, it wins it for you. You win on Schmutz.
Claudia, if you've ever wondered why the earth wobbles or if fruit flies suffer insomnia, you'll find the answers in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. And then let yourself go to the dogs with The Dog Year, a novel by Anne Gavin from Berkeley Books. Explore how the other half lives with Chris Kelly's Downton Tabby, a parody from Simon & Schuster. Continue the feline vibe with Christopher Jansma's novel, The Unchangeable Spots of Leopards from Penguin Books, and change things up with Squirrel is Alive, the story of a teenager in the Belgian Resistance and French Underground by Mary Rostad from the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership at Viterbo University. Ed, start every day the What Do You Know way with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and continue the Java Magic in the afternoon with smooth and rich Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And then feel like royalty wearing a t-shirt from Cincinnati's Hudepohl Shingling Brewing Company, makers of Little King's Original Cream Ale, It's Good to Be King. Enjoy a bit of romance listening to Let's Kiss by Brave Combo and the Mesquite Symphony Orchestra on the Dentone label, and complete the Big Kielbasa with the rare What Do You Know memorabilia, including half a dozen Greetings from Planet Feldman postcards, a slew of Michael Feldman Posse and Posse Plus 7 Power stickers, and the nearly priceless Feldmingo Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter. Congratulations to
you
both.
It is pretty much priceless. There's no price on it. Thank you very much, Claudia. Ed, stay there for just a moment, and we'll make sure we get an address from you. Thanks for playing.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
If I do this, that should help it.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's an Andersonian town of the week, plus all the news that is, thanks for the memos, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, man who's relieved to learn that the Russian aid convoy on Madison's border was, in fact, returning student U-Hauls, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. They weren't Russian. U-Hauls. U-Hauls. Rent this for $19.95, you know, or my daughter Ellie says, after we did that several times, rent this for $19.95 times 2 plus 5. Because you can't get one. I like, anyone here ever get a U-Haul for $19.95? Even with tax, it's going to be costing more. Well, you know, each week at this time, or maybe you didn't know.
What do we do?
We start off now with all the news that is, and usually from around here. But this one here is actually from Pennsylvania, in your honor. Yes, in your honor, from Uniontown, Pennsylvania, because it could have happened around here. Two golfers, okay? Two Pennsylvania golfers accused of fighting over the rules had assault charges dismissed after they refused to testify against one another. I love golfers. That, they would, right, naturally. State police were saying 63-year-old Roger Lee Harris, 42-year-old Brian Bandis were playing with three others, Springdale Golf Course near Uniontown, August 3rd. That's when they began arguing about rules involving casual water. Did you see that in the PGA? This cat's casual water there, so he gets to, if it springs up when he steps in it, then he gets to throw the ball anywhere he wants. No. Anyhow, they were arguing about rules involving casual water. It was start out as a casual argument and escalated, or puddles, as they're sometimes called, after it rained. The North Union Township men eventually came to blows, and police said Harris hit Bannis over the head with a 3-wood. I would have used a 2, actually, under those circumstances. District Judge Robert Brickirons dismissed the charges after a preliminary hearing. He said the men went home with a warning, saying, "I don't want you to be back again in this courtroom, or I'm going to assess you 2 penalty strokes." Everybody's a golfer. Everybody wins. Everybody loses. Okay. Okay, this is from around here. Crandon. Residents of this northeastern Wisconsin community have recalled their mayor. Voters in Forest County, community of Crandon, removed Rob Yeager from office, replaced him with Dennis Rosa, a community of about 2,000 people. The recall began when the mayor was accused of micromanaging the city. Isn't that what a mayor is supposed to do? They thought it was just kind of a mere formality of being mayor or something. So, okay. Of course, he was not the micromanager. It would have made a difference. He was the mayor. So it's just an honorary title. Okay. Protests do not stop Wisconsin Church's pig wrestling fundraiser in Stephensville. Or is it Stephensville? Anyone know? Outagamie County? Anyhow, we'll call it Stephensville for now. St. Patrick Parish in Stephensville said the pig wrestle has been its tradition for 44 years as a big draw for its fundraising picnic. Spectators of stand cheered as participants chased a pig around a muddy pen at the picnic. Dozens of demonstrators stood nearby in protest. You know, I don't know. Is it cruel? I don't know, to wrestle a pig, because worse things are going to happen to him shortly, you know. Much, much worse. Jordan Turner, president of Global Conservation Animal Rights Group from Milwaukee, says tradition is no excuse for wrestling pigs. They had 60,000 online signatures, protest of the event at the church, St. Patrick Parish. The event usually brings in $3,000 for the parish, which has no plans to cancel the event again next year. It will not be canceling again next year. I don't know. I'm not taking sides on this, but you know, I do wonder. Pigs don't have much of a future anyway. Here's a little bit different thing. Glendale. Man was robbed after meeting woman on Plenty of Fish dating website. Plenty of Fish dating website. Okay, I'm looking for a dating website. Am I going to go to Plenty of Fish? A man reported his car, clothing, and smartphone were taken by a woman he found on a dating website. He picked up a woman in Milwaukee after they met online at the Plenty of Fish dating website. The man took the woman to Bayshore Town Center, where he bought her lingerie items. The two then went to Days Inn, so it really got off on the right foot. Right? On Port Washington Road, the man was taking a shower. The woman took his car, valued at $21,000, $4,000 worth of clothing, and a $300 Galaxy S3. No other information was released. But I think they have a future together. I really do. This sounds like marriage to me. I have no idea. In Milwaukee, a Southside vacant lot would be designated as a historic under a proposal submitted to Milwaukee officials. So a vacant lot, there's a vacant lot they want to make historical. Yeah. Did you read about this, Mary?
That's true.
Yeah. And apparently nothing ever happened on that lot. Do we know that anything ever happened on this lot? It's on South Clement Avenue?
It looks like a dump.
It looks like a dump. Yeah, it's a historic dump, though. Alderman Tony Zielinski said wants to preserve this vacant lot as a historic site. The Historic Preservation Commission is to consider the petition on August 27th. We're just now checking to see if there's any historic significance to that property, the alderman said. Okay, well, I guess that's it for all the news that is. All right, that's okay. And now for memos here. This thing, I couldn't find the actual memo, so I'm not counting this as a memo itself, but this is the one you probably heard about. The EPA employees told to stop pooping in the hallway. In the email obtained by government executive, which I read. I don't know, my issue didn't come with this. Deputy Regional Administrator mentioned that several incidents in the building, including clogging the toilets with paper towels and an individual placing feces in the hallway outside the restroom at the EPA. Confounded by what to do, EPA management consulted with workplace violence national expert who said that hallway feces is, in fact, a health and safety risk.
Imagine.
He added the behavior was, quote, very dangerous, and the individuals probably would probably escalate their actions. Where do you go from there? I don't know. It's already escalated, it seems to me, at that point. What would you do to escalate that? Thank you very much. Management is taking the situation very seriously and will take whatever actions are necessary to identify and prosecute those individuals. Well, it should be easy to identify.
DNA.
Just lab analysis. Yeah. Got to be rife with DNA. Of a pig, probably, from... Okay. He asked for any employees with knowledge of the poop bandit or bandits to notify their supervisor. EPA itself said we cannot comment on ongoing personnel matters. Okay, so there. And there, here's an actual memo. This is posted on a general information board at work in this case, and this is what it reads as. This Saturday, come check out the Mo Can Cat Club's annual cat show at the KCI Expo Center in Kansas City. The show hours are 9 to 5. Never been to a cat show? Here's what you'll see. Lots of breeds, colors, and sizes of cats and kittens. Throughout the day, all the cats will be brought up to each of the six judges in groups and will be judged on the basis of various characteristics. You can wander the exhibitor area to see the cats or take a seat at any of the judging stations. The judges will often talk to the audience about each cat, what they are looking for in a breed. The show also has a household pets category, so even non-purebred cats will be shown. Many exhibitors are happy to talk with you about their cats and may even let you pet them, ask first. There will also be vendors there showing and selling cat-related merchandise. Often there are rescue groups there, too, although I don't know for certain that any will be at this one. I've been informed that sometime around noon they'll have a cat bikini contest, where cats will model bikini attire. Has anybody ever been to anything like this? And why is this up on the office bulletin board? This is crazy. Cray-cray, my daughter would say. Exhibitors from all over the Midwest will be able to show their cats. It's fun and family-friendly environment. The show hall is handicap accessible, air-conditioned, parking is free. Okay. All right, that's a bad one to end on. So how about this one here? This is to everyone. Subject, dead cat. This morning, Wednesday, I found a dead and dismembered black and gray cat in the lawn of the house on the northwest corner of Palmcraft and Coronado. The cat looks like it was partially eaten. The gardener was going to dispose of it. We put the remains in a white plastic bag and left it near the curb on the sidewalk. No one was home. Tom. There you have it, all the memos we have today. And it's, I don't know, I thought a good cat thing and then a little balance. With, apparently his job is to put cats in bags when he finds them. That's a job. It's a living, isn't it?
Rough.
Yes. Where, if people want to send us memos or anything like that,
they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Say, you know, we were supposed to, people are probably wondering what happened with the woolly mammoth tusk guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did some of you come for the woolly mammoth tusk guy? John did.
Well, Adam was telling me about it this morning.
And yeah, it sounded really good because this guy up in Anchorage, he found a woolly mammoth tusk. Andrew Harrelson's name is. And he found it. It was in the river there or something. And his mother found one very much like it 22 years earlier. So this is a great story. But he's not on.
He's got to go fishing, I think, is the story.
He's going fishing?
Yeah, he texted us this morning.
It's more important than being on a national
radio show. That's what I heard.
Albeit public radio. Oh, yeah, so we don't have them. So, but we do have, we're honoring another town, village, or burg. That's where you come in, Sarah. with her town of the week. Here is Sarah Nix.
Anderson, California is in Shasta County, about a 2-hour drive north of Sacramento. As far as historians can tell, people have been living in the area for at least 5,000 years.
Wow.
Native American people hunted, trapped, and fished throughout the region. The first European explorers came through the area around 1815, followed by Hudson Bay trappers a couple of decades later.
Hudson Bay.
White people started to settle there with the start of the California Gold Rush in 1849. Mm-hmm. Chinese miners also moved into the area, faced with intolerance on the streets and discriminatory state legislation, most were pressured to leave Shasta County a few years later. Oh. The Gold Rush only lasted until about 1860, but by then a few miners had turned into settlers who lived off subsistence farming.
Gold miners?
Yep. The town of Anderson was established around 1872 when the first train line
showed... Slow down just a little bit. I'm taking notes.
The town of Anderson was established around 1872...
No, you don't have to start again.
When the first train line chugged through the area.
Yeah.
Farming grew in
1872.
You got it. Farming grew in Anderson after an aqueduct was built to carry water.
The Romans must have been there too.
Who knows? From the Sacramento River into the surrounding fields. These days, about 10,000 people live there.
Wait a minute. What do they grow now?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
Maybe if we could call somebody and find out. Anyhow, it's an outdoor recreation destination for a lot of visitors. They go for kayaking, fishing, hiking, and spelunking. And if you're in the mood for local sports, you can check out the Anderson Union High Cubs, take on the Anderson New Tech High Players.
Cubs.
Yep. And if you're there in May, you can also enter a team in the Redneck Olympics that Anderson hosts. Events include pool noodle jousting, toilet seat horseshoes, and a whole lot more. And that is our town of the week. It's Anderson, California.
That's a good one. Toilet seat. What do they do with the toilet seats?
Horseshoes.
Horseshoes with toilet seats.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. Is anyone sitting on them when they throw?
I know. Ouch. Ouch.
Horseshoes. And what's the other event there?
Pool noodle jousting.
Pool noodle jousting.
I think you have to knock somebody's hat off or something. I'm not sure.
Whatever. Their noodle off. Yeah. Something like that. Okay, so there's a lot going on in Anderson, California. We've been calling there randomly, haven't we? Lyle? Hi, Lyle. How are you? Do we have someone?
Yeah, this is Janelle.
Oh, hi, Janelle. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were on there. I didn't mean to ignore you.
Really. I'm here. I've been listening.
Oh, what do you think so far?
Well, I think, you know, I was born and raised in this area, and I didn't know that much about Anderson.
Yeah, really. What part surprised you the most?
The toilet seat horseshoe. I haven't noticed that, no.
Yeah. Well, did you know about the Redneck Olympics or whatever?
Yes, actually, I had heard about that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that does not surprise me.
No. Why would that not surprise you?
Well, you know, we're the other California up here in Northern California, and so, you know, you can kind of guess that we would have a lot of ranchers and people that could fit right into that category.
Okay. You got your rough and hardy men up there.
We do. Yeah. We do. Lots of big trucks drive around
Big trucks with big tires on them.
Exactly.
And big guys in them and stuff, hauling things.
Yes.
Not just driving around like you see around here. Someone drives them around, there's nothing in them for the most part.
No, there's usually something in them up here.
Something in them. You don't want to see what, but there's something in those trucks.
Something.
There must be.
Yeah, and actually my bed and breakfast is located in Redding.
Huh.
Which is just north of Anderson, and we're on the Sacramento River. So we have the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District Dam right out in front that they had put in back in the late 20s to divert the water from Sacramento River. So it actually diverts up here in Redding to irrigate the lands all south of here.
So they divert it around Anderson right to Redding? Is that what you're saying? You took their water?
No, it diverts. We're north, so it as it goes downstream, it gets pulled out of the river here, but then it that water is what is used to irrigate Anderson and Cottonwood area, which is south of here.
Wow. Well, it's too bad Redding isn't our town of the week. We could talk more about it.
I know.
But you got to
apparently you couldn't get a hold of anybody from Anderson. Maybe they were all out in their fields.
I never know what they're doing back in that booth there, Lyle Anderson. You never know with him. So what is your bed and breakfast call?
Bridge House Bed and Breakfast.
Oh, Oh, Bridge House. You got a full house there at Bridge House?
I do have a full house here at Bridge House.
Yeah. Got a full breakfast and everything? And
absolutely. We had waffles and eggs and sausage this morning and lots of fruit.
What kind of, sausage? What kind of sausage do you serve there at Bridge House?
Actually, today it was a chicken apple sausage.
Ooh, that sounds very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very healthy.
Is that locally made? Is it all, are you a locavore?
No, that one, this one, particular one was not locally made. It's an Adel.
It's a what?
Adel's.
Oh.
Which I think is out of Chicago.
Oh, well, that's good, too. That's too close to here.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
Good. That's good. And then, so people come and stay there and fish on the dam, or what do they do?
They, Sacramento River is one of the top rivers for fly fishing, and I actually have some guests here that they were heading out at 8 o'clock to go meet their fishing guide. So,
yeah, well, we all meet our fishing guide someday.
Yeah.
You know, you got to... Nice way to go, anyhow. Stay there at the Bridge House.
They always have a smile on their face when they're going to do that. So, you know, that can't be half bad of a job to have.
Yeah. And do they do that other stuff? Sarah mentioned kayaking or something?
Absolutely. Yeah. Rafting.
There's rafting
on the Sacramento River. Yeah, that goes through. Anderson has a gorgeous, it's called Anderson River Park. It's a beautiful park with big old oak trees in it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous and worth seeing if anybody's coming through here.
Okay. And can you do those things in that park? Some of those rafting, kayaking?
Absolutely.
And where do you spelunk around there?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Must be, not sure whether it's caves, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, you know what? That would be more in the McLeod area north of here, about an hour. There's definitely a lot of caves up there.
Yeah.
And then we have Shasta Caverns out on Shasta Lake.
Okay.
That people go to. But yeah, McLeod is known as an area where there's just various caves in the ground that people go and check them out.
Yeah. Well, caves would have to be in the ground, I think, at some point.
Yeah.
Do you do any of that yourself?
I do not.
Yeah. No. Okay, so it sounds like you got your work cut out for you, and things are going good. You're bed and breakfast, and lots going on. And then, when someone is coming out there and staying at the Bridge House B&B, what other sites can we see? You mentioned the park there in Andersonville, and of course the river. A lot of sports going on. And where else can we go?
And in Redding, we have our Sundial Bridge, which celebrated 10 years this summer. The Sundial Bridge is actually a very large working sundial. It's a walking bridge with a glass bottom.
Okay.
The architect was Santiago Calatrava from Spain.
Yes, he's the guy who did the bridges in Milwaukee. There's some really
beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
He did. He
does
a beautiful
good job.
So we have one of his bridges. So that's the highlight. If anybody looks up Reading, they usually get to see a picture of that bridge.
Yeah. No, he's great. He's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And it tells the time as you're walking on the bridge. You know exactly.
It sure does.
You know what time it is you're walking on that bridge.
It's usually time that it's hot.
Yeah, time to get home probably at that point. Well, that sounds fantastic, and things are going well for you out there. I'm glad to hear it, and life is good in Anderson and Redding.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. We have a little something for you for being so nice.
We do. We'll be sending you Wisconsin's finest treasure in a selection of handcrafted cheeses, organic and GMO-free, from Cedar Grove Cheese in Plain, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you can serve those.
That sounds wonderful.
Serve those, but say they're local, you know, because people like that.
Oh, no, it'll be fun to tell the story about how I was getting to talk on the radio.
Yeah. Thanks, Janelle. Very nice talking with you.
Thank you
Appreciate
so much.
Janelle Pearson from Redding and Anderson, California, our town of the week. I love that none of these buttons work, so I can do anything I want on this keyboard. That's how it works. So then... you want to handle this part of it here?
Should handle it, I think.
No, you're so good at it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Grab that
Thanks.
Little...
Who wants to throw the dart?
Can we have the... don't throw it. John, would you mind? You seem to be mobile.
Well, I'm usually right over here with it, but I didn't know you...
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And give
it
to
Sarah. Need somebody to throw the dart for... Oh, yes, you.
This
you had your hand
week.
Up earlier because you wanted to be on the quiz. Are you sure you're not wasting your big chance here? What's your name?
Hi, I'm Nathaniel.
And are you visiting from somewhere else?
No, we're from right down the road. I actually live near East High School.
Oh, great. You want to throw the dart?
I'd love to.
Okay, follow me. Watch your step.
You've gotten so good at this, Sarah.
I know. I'm just a master of the dart throwing.
Yeah, very good.
Just, yeah, our rearranged map of the United States.
Just whip it in there.
Am I aiming for anything specific?
No, close your eyes, in fact.
I want to go for Wisconsin.
Oh, you bounced off Wisconsin.
I hit, like, the UP, dude.
Yeah, no, sorry.
I don't know. Maybe we lost the dart. Oh,
yeah,
no, here it is.
In there.
Okay.
It's sticking in me, actually.
I'll close my eyes this time.
Yeah, good idea. There you go.
Very good.
Florida.
Bonita Springs. Thanks.
Florida. Thanks, man. Wait a minute. You win this mug from Jazz at the Wharton Center.
All right.
Thanks, man. Okay, where are we now in this epic? Oh, the boys in the band. Hi.
Hi.
Don't get too hungry for dinner. You can do that one now? Never comes late. She never bothers with people she hates.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Very disturbing. That's very disturbing. He went to apparently a Nazi scout camp with his child. Jeff was telling us during the break here now, and I'm a little, what was with the outstretched arms during the flag ceremony at scout camp?
No, there's a misunderstanding. I was pointing to the direction of where the flag goes up. That's what I was. I know. It's a fine line. Mine was more like this, but I'm gonna change that because it looks a little suspect right now. But the flags go up. How's this? Does this right? Is this better?
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I had pitched my tent. That was all going well. You just have to get used to it. You wait in line, and then after they do the flag ceremony, which is really sweet, then you walk another 20 feet into the front of the mess hall where you stand in line again. You have to get in line, and that takes a while. And then, yes, you can.
You can keep the bass.
Okay.
Yes. Jeff Hammond, our bass player. John Tooley, our piano player. Jeff Hammond, our bass player. Can you still call that song? That's why the lady is a tramp. Lady, because that's kind of politically.
Politically. And
lady is a tramp. Lady and the tramp would be different.
Well, I guess if a lady, that's a dog story. Singing it, then it would be.
A lady would have to sing it,
yeah.
Really.
So then it would be okay. Or Tony Bennett.
That's why the lady collects stamps, you could do now.
Yeah.
Is a champ. She's a champ.
Because she gets too hungry for dinner
today.
She's
a champ.
That's why she collects stamps. Okay, I don't know. I'm just saying you got to be careful of all these things now in this environment. I love saying in this environment, because what does that mean? You know, people say, well, in this environment, you're right, because it's oxygen, nitrogen. So you gotta be careful what you're breathing. Blowing Rock, North Carolina. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Is there a rock that blows there in Blowing Rock? Or how did it get to Rick Hawkins? You would know this, wouldn't you? In Blowing Rock. Well, what's the story behind Blowing Rock?
Oh, there's several stories.
Okay, tell me one of them.
Well, the wind is real strong. It blows up from below, and there's a...
From South Carolina? Is it coming from South Carolina?
South Carolina. there's a legend about a Native American couple. The brave was from a different tribe, and they were in love.
This is a song. I know that one.
And they used to go up there, but there was one time they went there, and there was an animus guy, and he thought it was a sign that he needed to go back, and he didn't want to go back, so... He decided to commit suicide and jump off.
That's a song. That's a country song.
And she prayed.
What is that song?
She prayed that he might be spared.
Overton Mountain. No, that's a different one.
And the wind blew him back up to her.
That's pretty much me and my wife in a nutshell. Same thing.
Same story, really.
Very similar. Well, different locale and everything.
Yeah, here it happens a lot.
There was no rock, but there was a strong wind, I remember.
Yeah.
Blowing Rock, North Carolina. And what do you do out there, Rick Hawkins?
I just finished graduate school at Appalachian State in Boone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't have any gray hair before I started.
Yeah. Yeah. And what in?
Oh, in technology, renewable energy engineering.
What is that exactly?
Study of, you know, different renewable energies, photovoltaics, wind power, solar thermal.
So you're going to be a wind farmer at some point?
Perhaps. We'll see.
Need some wind, first of all.
Yeah, I need some wind.
I need one of those things. You know, you always pass those, those things, turbines, and they're never moving. What is that? You got, this guy put probably $1 billion into putting like 100 of these giant things. What are they called?
Turbines.
Turbines. And they're just standing. They're not even moving. And there's a breeze or something. I mean, what is with that?
Well, the large ones take a strong wind to get them to move.
Even when they're moving, they're just taking it easy. They go slow,
know? They're actually generating quite a lot of energy, those large ones. Even though they're not going real fast, they're still generating quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I guess you'd know if you went, just graduated.
Well.
Don't invest in it is what I'm saying,
Well, never mind. Go ahead. Okay.
And then, don't you have to use it right away? I mean, doesn't it have to be powering something right away? What do you do? Where do they store it, or
there are
what?
A lot of difficulties with it because it's not, it changes every second, really, how much power you're getting. So they've come up with some technologies, which I haven't been involved with, but with batteries getting, batteries to straighten out the electrical signal to keep it more constant, like you said.
Just be in the right, don't invest in it. Be on the right end of this whole thing, and then you'll be okay. And in Blowing Rock, there is probably a lot of wind there, right?
There is, but there's not a turbine in Blowing Rock.
No. Wouldn't it be great if you could have the Blowing Rock Turbine Company?
Really, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Blowing Rock itself...
I just need $5,000 from you.
That won't do it, but yeah.
Nice talking to you.
Same.
What are you doing? What brings you here?
Oh, I'm come to see your show, first of all, and a friend of mine...
Really, why are you here?
Mike lives nearby.
Because Mike is here.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Okay. Right. Yeah.
You know Mike from school? Or
we together? Both used to live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we did some theater work together, so I know him from there. And he moved up here, and then I came to 25th anniversary and got back in contact with him for that.
What does theater work mean? Well, I'll ask Mike. Mike, what is this theater work? What is that?
Well, I do set building. I sing.
You do Lady as a Tramp?
No, can't do that one. They do very fine without me.
Do one now? What do you got for us?
No.
Come on.
I'm too embarrassed.
Well, what was your big number at the time?
No, I sing the chorus.
Well, the chorus. What was your big chorus number at the time?
Which time?
That time we were the big one.
The big one? Fred Sanford?
Yeah. All right, Mike's hard to talk to, too. Nice talking to you, Mike.
Likewise.
All right, Mike and Rick. Hawkins, nice talking. Thanks for coming. Nice to have you here. All right, we almost learned something there. I was really close to learning something. Piers McBride, England journalist. That's got to be interesting, wouldn't you think? Piers? Yeah. We say Piers, but it's not. How would you say it? Right? That's mispronounced.
Piers. What? Piers.
Piers.
As in Piers Morgan.
As in Piers Morgan.
Exactly.
Or House of Piers.
House of Piers.
Yes. Same thing. Okay, and I see you have a Texans jersey on there. You know that's. Do you happen to know? Because you're from England, you may not know that is actually the worst all-time team in American football history.
I do know that. I thought it was Jacksonville, but I'll
they're close. They were neck and neck.
Yeah, I got it that much.
And now they have J.J. Watt though, so they're going up to 31. Going up to 31 with J.J. Watt.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm very well. Very
well.
Are
you on a journalistic travels here?
No, we're on holiday here. Yeah. We come virtually every year.
That's right. You have holidays. We have vacations. Is there a difference between a holiday and a vacation?
There is. It's like lift and elevator, really, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Elevators and you have lifts. Or
and
the other
subways
way
and tubes. And
so, yeah, all that sort of thing.
And engines and bonnets. That's the one I don't get.
No, but
why would a car have a bonnet? Now, you guys can say what you want. It's your language.
Yeah. Well, we did invent it. But,
A bonnet. Well, who would look at that and say, well, let's lift the bonnet and have a look?
Well, we can't really complain about you messing about with our language. I mean, we should have fought harder, shouldn't we? But there we go. But
yes, we beat you for the right to misuse your language.
Indeed you did. Indeed you did.
Fair and square, though.
Fair and square, absolutely, yeah. No,
1812, you burned the Capitol, or the White House and all that.
No complaints.
But we forgave you for
that. Yeah.
Forgave you for that.
You did.
It could have been worse or something. So you're on tour now. Where have you been? Where are you going?
We've been in Madison for a month. We just love it here. We just absolutely love it.
Really?
Yep.
Is there anything like this in England? Or
do
you still call it England, by the way?
Oh, we still call it England, yes. It's going
Say you're from the UK?
No, it's going to be Georgetown soon because of the little baby that... dreadful business. Anyway, yes, so there we go.
It's a dreadful business.
It is a dreadful because it's just another mouth we've got. The taxpayer has got to pay for. Yeah. You know, we hang her on. No work, doesn't work. Yeah. Lives on benefits.
Yeah.
In a big house.
Yeah.
It's not on.
Cut him off. Cut him off.
I would.
Cut them all off.
I would lead the revolution.
Is that a feeling? Is that a general feeling in England that enough of this already? Put them on a stipend and just to phase them out.
It is moving that way. Yeah. It is moving towards that. Yeah, we want a republic. Don't ask me that question.
Yeah. Okay. You came all the way. Where in England are you from?
We're from near Bristol in the southwest.
What's near Bristol?
Clevedon, which is where we live.
You're in Cleveland.
Clevedon.
Oh, Clevedon. Clevedon?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Clevedon.
Oh, good. Okay. So you came all the way from Clevedon here.
Yep.
And it's just Madison is all you're seeing?
We've seen a lot of the outskirts, and we've been to all the sites and the theaters. And
So you've been all the way to Middleton?
We've been through Middleton several times. Yeah,
Sun Prairie, did you go there? Yeah.
No, we haven't been to Sun Prairie, but we did a house on the Rock, and we've been out to Indianapolis where I go and watch the Colts.
Yeah. Did he plan this trip, or did you plan it?
We did it together. Yes.
And you both arrived at this conclusion. I'm a little astounded, actually. Don't you want to see some of the bigger sites and places?
Well, we went to California for a few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you see there?
Pacific.
The ocean?
Yeah, I'd never seen it before, so that was exciting.
Okay. Mm. Because you're used to the Atlantic, it's a little different.
That's right, very different. Yeah. Much warmer. Yeah, yep. Lots of sand.
So you guys are good traveling together?
Very good, yes.
Yeah, compatible? Yeah. My wife and I can't travel together.
Oh, we do. We travel well together. Yeah.
You ended up here.
And then, we ended up here. We are. That's it. There we go.
So after here, then where are you going?
Back to Clevedon.
What a trip. Well, it's great to have you both here. Pairs.
Don't ask that question.
Yeah. Why do only 20% of Americans have passports? Because we're already here. Why do we need a passport?
Well,
you only need a passport if you want to get here.
Yeah. Well, the reason that only, so I understand, the reason that only 20% have got a passport is the other 80% can't fit in a photo booth. Now, I don't know.
I've been set up by Paris McBride, England journalist from Clevedon. All right. Well, then I'm going to give you wine anyway because they need wine.
Okay.
Okay, so that's it? You just say okay and you have wine? Amina?
How about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumé? They're both silver medal-winning wines at this year's Wisconsin State Fair Professional Wine Competition from Wollersheim Winery.
The McBrides, ladies and gentlemen. All the way from Cleveland. Thank you. Thank you for coming here. We're going to play another round, are we?
Sure, let's do it.
I think we are, but I got to talk to the fellow from the UP. Come on, stand up here and talk to me because the guy from the UP is here and you got to talk to him. Those are just so nice.
Well, we tried very hard to be nice.
Yeah.
That's sort of been our nature.
It is nice. And correct. Yet you're up there because you probably want to be away from people, and yet you're nice when they do come through.
Well, we very seldom see people up there, so we have to be nice to them or they won't come back.
Did you think they were bears at first and try and shoot one or two? Or
we did do a few of those, but only one or two.
Just the hairier guys we used to get shot.
Just the ones with beards.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And your hometown again is in the UP?
Marquette,
which is a big city, actually. It's not
for the UP, it's the biggest city there.
It makes it looms over Escanaba, you know, in size-wise.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that where you went to school?
Yes, Northern Michigan University.
Oh, you did. Okay. Do you resent being attached to Michigan by just a lousy bridge and then having them claim you?
Well, I dear wife is from the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, so she is a troll from beneath the bridge.
Oh, okay. I bet you said that once or twice, haven't you?
I think so.
And have you enjoyed that every time he said it?
I'm proud to be a troll.
Proud to be a troll. From Lower Michigan. That's another thing. Why don't they call it Lower Michigan?
Well, because it's beneath the bridge.
Okay. But I mean, you know, why they should call you Michigan and them call them Lower Michigan.
Well, that would be good, too. Yeah. That would be good.
You've got to have some sense of proportion.
There is a movement to make the UP a separate state.
It should be a country.
Exactly. That would be even better yet. Marquette could be the capital.
Yeah. It's bigger than Liechtenstein. So
but has fewer people.
Yeah. So what? You can always get Liechtensteinians to come over and fill it up. Great. And your name once again is?
Carl Anderson. Anderson.
Carl Anderson from the UP, ladies and gentlemen. Because we love you guys.
Thank you very much.
I love you guys. Thank you, Tom. We're going to have, okay. All right. All right, fine. That saves me an explanation of what we're going to have here. We're having a quiz, and she was you were planning on doing this, were you?
Well, actually, my husband really wanted to, but he threw a dart and can't. So
you both.
I'm going to take the turn. He dreamt a couple nights ago that he did the quiz, so we came here. We live in Madison. So he had a dream that he was going to be on the quiz. It's kind of a life dream, so... Became. It's okay, I'll take it.
Too bad you're stealing that away from him.
Still pretty exciting for me.
And you are?
My name is Abigail.
Abigail. And you're from around here? Or?
I am from Chicago, but we live in Madison.
You make the adjustment okay?
I go down to Chicago quite a bit to kind of get a taste of the city life.
Okay. Abigail, I'd say give me one good reason, but I guess that was it. Is fulfill your husband's dream.
Fulfill my husband's dream and his mother, Jean. It's her dream for him. As well.
Well, now I feel really bad about it. Do you want to come? Why don't you both come up here? And then both of you, we'll have a couple. We can do that. We have the electronics to do it. I'm telling you something. We'll have Abigail and her husband. They're just a sweet couple. They're very much in love. And have a seat. You can just push the thing out of the way there. That's just an emu, not even a real one.
Hi, Mom.
She's listening.
Yeah, where is your mom?
Chippewa Falls.
Oh, Chippewa Falls.
Yep.
Oh, good. All right, so let me just get names here and tax identification numbers. Abigail.
Social Security.
And
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. You guys get shorter names?
Ask all the time.
Nathaniel, okay. You go by the whole name?
Mm-hmm.
Both of you.
All nine letters, yep.
Wow, that's a big name. Where'd you guys meet then? Hey,
we met teaching English in Vietnam.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What are the odds on that?
Well, we both went to UW, and we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And then we met over there.
We were teaching ESL at a private school in Vietnam.
And yeah.
Met there. Yeah. Didn't know each other as undergrads, and when we resettled in the U.S., this is where we came.
Oh, that's an amazing back story. Yeah. You didn't know each other here at all.
No.
Nope.
Hadn't seen him around on campus or anything like that, or.
And the Minnesotans tend to hang out with the Sconeys, and the Chicagoans are lumped in with the Coasties. So
yeah, Coasties. You'd have to be from here to understand all this, but trust me, he's right. Okay, and that's right. And, so, and when you were in school, did you have the same major or anything like that? Or were you, no?
Art
you?
History.
Art history and...
Journalism.
Journalism, okay. So, and then... And did you just hear about this opportunity in Vietnam to do the teaching, or...?
I'd always really wanted, we're both kind of travelers, and I had always really wanted to teach and see more of the world. And
What's the matter with kids these days? My daughter just got back. My daughter got back from Peru and Nicaragua. You know, spent the whole summer there and stuff. And what's the matter with you kids? Aren't you afraid of anything? I mean, amazing. These kids and all their friends are all over the world doing it. It's really.
We're trying to raise that 20% of Americans with passports.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's all the young Americans. That 20% is every American under 30, I would say, or something. Okay, well, that's just great. And then, so how long have you been married now, then? Hey.
We got married...
April.
April 13th of this year.
No kidding. How's it working out so far?
So far, so good.
Yeah?
Yeah, can't complain. Yeah.
Can't complain? Go ahead.
At Gates of Heaven Synagogue.
Did you?
In James Madison Park, yeah.
Oh, cool. Was it a Jewish ceremony? I don't imagine. They don't do...
No.
Neither of you are, I would suspect.
We had had... She is.
You are? Oh,
we had had a... Yeah.
Good.
We'd had a Jewish ceremony the week before in Chicago.
Yeah.
But this was just our friend.
What were you before you were quasi-Jewish?
He's just quasi. He eats gefilte fish.
You do? But does he like it is the question. You
I can like, make I like gefilte fish, yeah. Yeah. I get down with Seder.
Cool. I get down with Seder. That's what I want to hear from my daughter's boyfriend. When the right one comes along, I get down with Seder. Cool. Well, that's great to have you here, and your mom is into this too.
She's a huge fan.
Yeah.
This is.
And Chippewa Falls up there.
She'll be talking about this for a long time. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Let's give her something to talk about. Song cue. Oh, sorry. Okay. No, that's all right. That's all right. And so you know how this works. We have various categories. Someone out there should play along with you. Is what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Right?
That's a great idea.
Then I should probably be thinking about a question.
Sure. And while you think about that question, yeah. I will say that the number for people to call if they're at home and want to play along is 1-800-942-5669.
We change the number?
No.
Well, how come it's working now?
That's a technical question.
There's lights on it. Is this working? If I do this, it'll be okay. It's still working. Okay. Okay, here's the question. Meta World Peace has a new name. What is it? Current events. You know Meta World Peace, formerly, what was he formerly?
Ron Artest.
Yeah, Artest. It was Meta World Peace. Now he's got a contract to play in China, so he's had to get a new name for that. So I'll tell you, it's something to do with China. Meta World Peace, what is his new name? If you know, give us a call here like Rose did in Farmville. That's a game, isn't it, Rose?
Hi. Yeah, it is, but it's also a city in Virginia.
I didn't even know there was a city named Farmville. I thought it was just like an app or something that everyone's crazy about for some reason. Do you play Do you play Farmville in Farmville?
I do not. Okay. I play Candy Crush.
From Candy Crush, Virginia, Rose is online. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you got
good. Just got off vacation.
You did? Where'd you go?
Virginia Beach.
Oh, all the way to Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Do you have a passport, Rose?
No.
Because you could go to Clevedon in England. I hear it's beautiful. I have a connection there. Rose, you know Meta World Peace's new name?
Whose name?
I'll take that as a no.
Well, I could guess.
Oh, go ahead. You'll never. I don't think you will. Go ahead.
Tell me one more time the question.
Yeah. Meta World Peace has a new name. What is it?
Queensdom.
No, but nice try.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Rose.
Bye.
Bye. So the idea is if you know the answer, then call in. I've been saying this for years. It doesn't seem to have any impact. Tom's on the line from Red House. Tom, you there? Well, he hung up. He just heard me say that. Okay. Sarah's on the line from Greenville, Wisconsin. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I am great. I don't know the answer. I just tried to call and talk.
Okay, well, you should call once in a while, but maybe not now. So you don't know the answer to Meta World Peace new name?
Well, I have my radio down. What's the question?
Meta World Peace, you know, the basketball player, former NBA guy.
Uh-huh.
And you know his new name?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Beijing boy.
Good idea. By now. Okay. Larry's in Mobile, Alabama. Larry, you know this, don't you? Or are you George?
Lord have mercy. I wish I did. I cheated and called before you asked the question.
Yeah.
But I have two guesses. I'll go with my first guy. He changed his name.
Okay. Bye. George is in Anderson, South Carolina. George, you know this one, don't you? Meta World Peace, new name. George?
Well, this is not George.
Oh, who's this?
This is Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. Can I call you George?
Oh, yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, Marianne. Where are you?
And I'm from Ozark, Missouri, but I'm presently in Springfield.
Okay.
Missouri.
I'm sure you have your reasons for that.
Yeah, I was dropping some stuff off at the recycling center.
Well, that's very nice of you to do that. Do you know Meta World Peace and what his new name might be?
I was hoping that I could remember his name before I called. It's a black singer. And he changed his name, and I can't remember for the life of me.
Okay. Well, call us back.
Is it back again?
Call us back when you think of it. Okay.
Congrats. Thank you very much.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. It's a problem. It's not a problem. It is a problem. Adam's on the line from Columbus. So, hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
All right. Adam. His new name. You know it.
I do.
Okay.
It's the Panda's Friend.
The Panda's Friend. Yes. Not a name you would think ordinarily of using. But Adam would know that because he's in Columbus. And that's cool. How are you, Adam? Pretty good?
Yeah.
You busy?
Yeah, good. I caught you at Otterbein a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for being there.
Yeah,
we had a great time. We had a great time. You know, we drank on stage there, and there's no drinking on campus. So I heard about that.
That's right. It is a drag campus.
Yeah, it's right. We got totally plotzed on there because we had a woman come on with Betty, you know, and we had these zombie something or other. I drank out of a shark.
Yeah.
I drank it out of a shark. So that was.
Yeah, they love their prohibition in Westerville.
Yeah, they love it. What are you doing these days, Adam, in life?
I'm an MFA student, actually in poetry right now.
You're in what?
Poetry.
Is that studied in school?
What's that?
Poetry? You're going to make a living with that?
Yeah. Oh, it's very lucrative, yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. Adam, this is Nathaniel and Abigail.
Hey, Adam.
Hello. Hey.
They've been married since April, and it's going good, they said.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so the three of you are a team right now, and we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Adam, pick the first one. What would you like?
How about current events?
Current events right out of the news. How did the infiltrator get past the White House gate? Last week, the week before.
Wasn't it some kid? What did he do? There was a kid. What did he do?
Like a toddler?
Yeah. Maybe he just squeezed through.
You're saying a toddler squeezed through the gate?
I'm almost certain that's what happened.
Onto the White House lawn? Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Toddler squeezing. There was a toddler squeezing at the White House this morning. Yes.
One right and zero wrong.
Okay. Remaining?
And the categories remaining are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
What'd you like?
Places or things you should have learned?
Places.
Places.
Places. Did you take his name?
He's Lytle and I was Weinberg, and I wanted to be the Lytlebergs desperately, desperately. And it's the one thing that we became the Lytles. I just changed my name.
You went to Lytle? You left behind Weinberg?
I left behind Weinberg.
We got a vanity plate on our car that says Lytleberg.
Oh, yeah. That's
that was the compromise.
All right.
What effect does the Lone Star Tick have on Texans? There's a thing they got on there called the Lone Star Tick. It has an effect. Does it A, make them stop bragging so much? B, does it make them allergic to meat and barbecue? Or C, does it make them easy to mess with?
Mrs. Places?
Yeah.
The Lone Star Tick.
Lone Star Tick in Texas.
Which way are you leaning here, Adam?
What was the first option? I'm sorry.
They don't want that anyway. B is what makes them allergic to barbecue or to meat, red meat.
What do you think?
Which would be a horrible outcome for a Texan, let's face it. Or in C is something else.
B's looking pretty good.
Yeah. The Lone Star Tick makes them allergic to barbecue. What could be worse?
Two right and zero wrong.
Two right and zero wrong takes it. Holy cow.
Abigail and Nathaniel, because it's better to have damp underwear than no underwear at all, you've won Instant Underpants, a small tin holding a pellet of disposable unisex underpants that expand when soaked in water from Archie McPhee. Sadly, there's only one pair. Then celebrate trains in Wisconsin and beyond, wearing a National Railroad Museum polo shirt from Green Bay's National Railroad Museum, and continue filling the mother load with a vintage Escape to Wisconsin bumper sticker, an Old World Wisconsin pencil, the book Lake Michigan, the Wisconsin Shore Book of Photography from Black River Press, and make summer last forever, playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including contestants, cards, and the All Wisconsin Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Adam, from football to falconry and the films of Kurosawa, you'll find a bit of each in Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious minded by Michael Feldman, from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books, and then savor a taste of Italy in a jar of all-natural marinara sauce from Carmela's Bistro in Appleton, made with love, shared from the heart. Dress up your pooch with a fashionable black watch plaid slider bandana from Stellaware. Keep those memos together with a Jobs Kenosha news clip, and read about Chemcraft, Sputnik, and the International Geophysical Year in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman from Terrace Books. Congratulations to
you. Thank you, guys. Once again, best of luck to you. Adam, hang out. Make sure you get that stuff. Nice talking to you. Thanks for playing.
Hey, OKC Feldman fans, we'll be at the OCCC on Saturday, October 25th. For tickets, call the box office weekday afternoons at 405-682-7579 or click over to notmuch.com.
Where is that?
Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City, yeah, we're going to be there. It'll be great. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening. Boys in the band, Sarah and myself. Talk to you next week.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Panis, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director this week is Aubrey Ralph with help from Brittany True.
Yeah. Thank you all. What about those guys? Oh, they're so good.
PRI, Public Radio International.